Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The following production is part of the We Be Geeks podcast collective.
Merry Christmas!
What is this?
Up to Neverland!
Ho, 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 ho! Come in and know me better, man! Ho, ho!
Merry, Merry Christmas! Merry, Merry Christmas! Merry, Merry Christmas!
Take your pixie out of your pockets, Neverlanders. Let's sprinkle some of that pixie dust around. Think of that happiest thought, and let's fly away to Neverland. Now, normally, and what I had expected to do, I would have been all over that Disney investors meeting and discussing it, and I still would like to do that in an upcoming episode, but things just didn't really work out for me to have it as a discussion. I only had me, and all that would have been me is saying, here it is. And I wanted to get some people together to discuss it. Things just didn't quite work out. It is a busy time of year, which means I also had a hard time getting together everything for a show, although I do have some interviews planned and even one scheduled for later this week. So there will be some new content coming, but what I thought would be fun, because we're going into a Christmas week and I'm super busy trying to get things going for the holiday, I'm going to share some old memories. These are from way back. If you've never heard any of the early episodes of the show, I've taken some clips from the first few episodes that were actually filmed in Christmas, and it's some people that I talked to from my old church where people are sharing their Christmas memories, and then it's me and Lost Boy Phil sitting down and discussing some of our memories of doing the Christmas programs at the church. And it's really good content. I actually reuse some of it on a streaming radio show that I create that's very similar to this. It's pretty much adapting the podcast for radio. And I enjoy listening to some of this old audio. And I thought, you know what? It's a good Christmas audio. So we're going to go outside of our usual of what we are kind of used to. And we're just going to sit back and listen to this short, special episode of some Christmas memories. So please enjoy.
To Disney and beyond.
Many years ago, my siblings and I lived with grandparents. There were six of us, and we didn't have much at all. Anyway, we were living with my grandparents, and they lived on a farm out in a small town. And thing was, we wondered what we were going to get for Christmas. We didn't have any idea. And so, to our surprise, Christmas morning, the Baptist church in this small town had brought us Christmas.
Aww.
And my sister and I, we got these little Patsy dolls. They were just really stiff and hard and everything, but they were just precious. And then everyone in my family got a toy, or they got a clothes, and we got oranges and fruit and stuff like that. And I just remember that, especially being with my grandparents, and they were really, really special to us, and I just can't ever forget. They just blessed us so many times. The end.
Well, that was a memory shared by our dear friend Ruth.
On the radio, we didn't have electricity. You sit around Grandpa's radio at a certain time, and he would play it was Sky King and Yukon King and all these characters that were on the radio, Lone Ranger and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And then we'd all sit around his rocking chair and his big old radio, and we'd sing, we'd just listen. And then after that, we'd go into the kitchen. The kitchen was always nice and warm.
Of course.
And smelled good. And Grandma would always have a treat for us. So. But Grandmas are the wonderful, most wonderful, and Grandpas are too, but Grandmas are special. So anyway, so we had a great time in the museum. We'd make our own fun. I mean, but there was sleigh riding or stringing popcorn or whatever it was we made our own fun. So anyway, that's the rest of the story.
Hi, I'm Laura, and my favorite Christmas story is when I was about 3 and I got like a beautiful red bicycle.
Your work today was good.
My name is Ben. Here's my story. When I was a kid, I grew up in a Jehovah's Witness household, didn't know what Christmas really was. I thought it was just a bunch of people trying to show how rich they were to one another and be, you know, popular with one another. So until I went to foster care, I really didn't get a chance to even know what people believed about Christmas and what it was all about. When I was about 13, I met Jesus for the first time, and he changed my life. And so the following Christmas, when I turned 14, I got to experience my first Christmas. I was at the Missouri Baptist Children's Home, and the local church had gathered up our Christmas list and gone out and gotten everything on it. So when I woke up on Christmas morning and came down to look at the tree, there was a bunch of things with my name on them, and I never felt so special. I felt like someone really loved me, and it was one of the first times in my life that I really felt loved by people that didn't even know me, and I felt like, maybe God does love me, and it was a very special Christmas for me.
Hi, I'm Everett, and I got a little bit of a story to tell. That when I was a child, I was really very sickly, and it meant so much to me that my family did show so much concern. And I remember I had uncles and aunts and cousins just coming to my house all the time and bringing me presents and food and cheering me up. And I'm just saying, it's wonderful to have a family that's caring, but it's even more blessed when you have a family that's like the family of God. And that's how I'm happy to have both.
Hello, how you doing? That is Phil.
That was a great intro, wasn't it?
Hello, how you doing? That's me.
Look, this is Phil.
Hi.
I'm Phil. That's Phil. So Phil and I, we went to the same church, grew up together, where his father was a pastor. And so we got to do a lot of Christmas pageants together. So we're going to kind of talk about our memories of doing it and the wacky things that we have a pretty good story. That we have to be careful how we phrase it, probably, because this is a family-friendly show.
PG.
Actually, I try to be as G as I can, but there might be a few PG songs I pick out for an upcoming show. I'm going to have still something post-Christmas, because, you know, that 12 days of Christmas kind of thing. We're going to have a special program. I got a lot of different varieties of the 12 days of Christmas. There is mention of buying alcohol and cigarettes as a great gift for Christmas. And so if anybody's going to be offended next week, there you go. Okay, just to get that over the way. But if you don't mind your kids hearing that sort of thing, that's fine. But if you want to, I'll warn you, and you can skip ahead like 5 minutes next week. But that's next week. So this week. All right, now, I don't recall much doing any pageants until your church kind of joined into where my old building was, and I don't even know what happened to the old pastor I had, but I don't think we really ever did anything before. But then you guys came in, and it's like every Sunday school class had to have their own program, and then, of course, a nativity, which is the typical thing.
Well, before we ever joined in together, you guys went to the Maple Park Garden Bible Church.
Yep.
And we went to the Moment of Truth Baptist Church, and we're both very small churches. Your pastor had some health issues and eventually had to retire. I had to do research on this a couple years ago on all this. But he had to retire, and we were basically not drying up. We had a lot of people, but it was just a small little room. There was nowhere to go. So we always try to have programs at our church, and a lot of times each class would try to have something, and it was always a lot of fun. But really, until we got to go and join with y'all and became the Moment of Truth Bible Church. Well, it was Bible Church.
Then we became Bible Baptist.
The Bible Baptist, yeah, when we got the newer building. But anyway, until we did that, we didn't have a lot of room to be doing those shows. So when we first started, my aunt, you remember her, Aunt LaDonna?
Oh, yes.
LaDonna Alexander. She would make puppets and things.
We're trying to get last names, but that's okay.
Oh, sorry. Well, she would do all sorts of nice little puppets, and we'd have nice puppet shows doing some of the nativity things, stuff like that.
I remember, I don't think this was part of Christmas, but there was one year she was doing a Daniel and the Lion's Den with these puppets, and she had the two lions. It was so cute. I don't know why it's stuck in my head, but when Daniel gets thrown in and she's a little lion, she goes, I'm not going to eat him. No, God will get really mad.
That's right.
It was so cute.
Yeah.
It's one of those, I don't know if it translates well when I'm telling people on here, but it was really cute when you saw it.
It was very Jim Henson-like.
Yes, it was, because she made some of the funnest little puppets.
Yeah, she did. She had a way of really personalizing these shows. So we did a lot of that. One of my favorite memories, though, I'm sure this is one you're going to mention, but one of my favorite memories is whenever I was 11 years old, we did this thing called the Christian's Christmas Carol.
Yeah, we kind of got bored with doing the nativity the same way every time. So
yeah, maybe I was 12. I'm trying to remember what year.
Oh, it was a long time ago.
The first time I wrote it all out, and I still have to teach it once in a while. But it was called The Christian's Christmas Carol. I played Bob Cratchit on the first one, and we had some other feller who was just visiting for a while who played Scrooge. But my favorite memory of that one was that Jeremy played Tiny Tim.
And I was tall, skinny, weird, wiry kid at the time. I was, I was skeletal.
What cracked me up was I had no idea how you're going to be dressed and came your turn to come out.
Because it said in the script to come out in pajamas, and what I was wearing for pajamas at the time, because it was cold, was a pair of white long johns.
He comes walking out, and the whole church bursted out in laughter.
It was great.
It was funny.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
Memorable.
Oh, yeah, because it was pretty much like I came out wearing white tights, man. I was...
The next year, I liked even more, I have pictures of still, was whenever I played Scrooge, you played Bob. And John played it several roles. Marvel.
He was always a great Marley. Yeah.
And he was Marley. I'm going to say not Marvel. He's Marley. And then he was the Christmas present. He was wrapped like a giant present. And this is before I saw that anywhere else, like any kind of Hanna-Barbera cartoon. Like they do have that. But at the time, we hadn't seen that yet. It was really cute.
Was it the first year we did it that your grandpa was Scrooge?
No, just a young man who was visiting was.
Oh, because I keep thinking your grandpa played Scrooge one time.
Well, what my grandpa did was for me, I was planning on making a kind of a half-animated thing about it. And I had my grandpa record the voice of Scrooge, so I still have it. I still have his voice of Scrooge.
Cool.
And if I ever use it someday, I'm hoping to someday be able to. I may use at least bits of it because, I don't know if I'll change the script around. It's possible to go to someone who's in heaven and say, hey, can you do this new script?
Sure.
But because of that, I always draw when I draw Scrooge, I always put a little hints of my grandfather.
Yeah.
Just a little.
Yeah. But the main thing was fun with the Christmas Carol is when we did the Ghost of Christmas Past, we could still do our nativity show. We just did it when we visited the past. Because we went for years where we'd have a nativity, and basically, when you get up there, you get in whatever pose, and I was a shepherd for years.
Oh, me too.
Yeah, but we'd get into whatever kind of pose, and whoever was the angel would have to stick their arms out, and then they'd stop so everybody can sing Hark the Herald Angels Sing, and we're all trying to freeze and hold that position while they all sing.
When you're little, it's hard to stay still.
Yes. It was awful. But I remember probably one of the more fun times I had is when you, me, and Seth were the three wise guys, as we said it.
Yeah.
We were the wise men and everything, and the fun part is my grandma had this outfit that she had made, I think back even with my Uncle Wayne when he was doing these kind of things as a kid, but it had like a complete outfit and everything with like the whole tunic and the robes. And so it was always fun to wear that and everything. But we were like hanging in back, and I do a lot of acting kind of stuff, and if you ever see me like backstage, I tend to work up energy because I get excited to do stuff. My wedding was crazy like this.
I remember.
You remember that. And it's because I get excited, so I'm working up, and it's what I like to call performance energy.
You're hulking out. That's
right. And then, but I like when I get there on stage, I'm like focused and everything. But it was like I feel like I kind of almost half rushed this because I can't remember who was walking in front of us, but I was like, yes, we're going down, here we go. I get up there, I'm like a ball of going, and so it was fun and everything. The three of us getting to be kind of knuckleheads backstage, and before we came marching out. But I remember the most painful year that we did a nativity. Well, because my knees have always been kind of a pain in the neck. I'd never actually learned to crawl when I was a baby because it hurt my knees, so I scooted. I've never been able to get down on my knees for long because it's excruciating for me. I don't know why, but it's really bad. But there was one year I was Joseph and your sister was Mary. And so I had for the entire show, because we came down first, obviously, and then everybody had to visit. Yeah. And I was supposed to be sitting on my knees. I was in agony. Now I lost my train of thought. But yeah, so we've done like the nativities for years. So the Christmas Carol really gave us that chance to branch away mm-hmm. and still do a nativity.
And I don't know if you remember this one, but what I remember was my first year as a Sunday school teacher. And I was like I'm thinking I was a junior at the time. I was a junior in high school. I had been teaching for several years, helping Miss Roberson. Mm-hmm. You remember her?
Oh, yes.
And she was outstanding. I love that woman. But anyway, I was doing my first year, and I had you come to assist me in the program. And I dressed like... Now, don't ask me why I did this, except for the fact that I was teaching at the time, for Sunday school, that is. I was teaching preschoolers. So what do kids connect with Christmas is Santa Claus. And I've always taught about Santa because I love Santa Claus. What, you know, you can still love Santa and love Jesus Christ more.
Right.
So what we did was we got all the kids around. I was dressed like Santa and Jeremy was dressed like an elf.
Yep.
Which was really perfect at the time.
Oh, yeah.
And we got together and we sang with the kids. And what I love was in front of the whole church, the kids were blowing out the candles on little cupcakes, you remember?
Yeah, we had a birthday for Jesus.
Yeah, we had a little birthday party for everyone. I thought that was so cute.
Yeah, I remember doing that. What song did we sing? We sang a song together.
We sang a couple of them. We sang Happy Birthday and all, and we came into it. And so I offer you this simple prayer to him.
One to 92 for kids. From 1 to 92.
Yep. That's right.
Yep.
We basically was singing about Jesus with that tune.
Right. I knew you'd like done some reworking for it. Oh, do you remember one year? Because, you know, Sunday school classes had to do separate things.
To him who died for me and you. That's what it was. To him who died for me and you.
Yeah. But must have been my sophomore year for junior year. Well, I don't know. Maybe it was my sophomore year. I had tried to say, okay, well, we need to update the Christians' Christmas Carol, but we weren't doing anything collective anymore. Each Sunday school class had to do their own thing. And so I had spent all this time writing up a script called The Christmas Avenger.
Oh, there you go.
Where I had, like, a Scrooge-type character, but instead of meeting three ghosts, he was going to meet this goofball superhero. And you actually made me the thing to kind of wear for the costume, because I had, like, a mask with a Santa hat, and then you'd drawn up the little thing. But I had this big, elaborate script, and then your mom was the Sunday school teacher, and we were so short on Cassid that all we really had is your sister being the mean person and coming across me. I looked like a bum. I was just sitting there in the corner like a bum. And I stood up, and I was teaching her the real meaning of Christmas.
I never understood that story. I remember watching it, because I wasn't in your class at the time. I remember watching and thinking, what is this?
Yeah, it did not come around to me, because I had this grandiose story and this well-written thing. I wish I still had the script I wrote. But your mom looked at it and like, we don't have time for this, nor the cast. But this is, you know, we can do something with this. And so,
yeah.
And it was awful. And I had been so excited to do it, and I had even, I'd gotten a copy of Robin Hood, the Prince of Thieves. And I had set up a tape recorder, and I recorded the music off of it, because I wanted to play that at the start of it.
That's one of my favorite things to this day.
Yeah. And we never even got to use it. That was so disappointing. Like, this was going to be this great thing, and the whole church was going to be so excited by it, and it was terrible.
That's our salute to Michael Kamen.
There you go. That's our salute to the great Michael Kamen.
The great late great.
Yeah, late great, and... thanks for recording with Metallica.
That's right.
That's a pretty cool thing for him to do. Even if the album isn't that great, it was pretty cool.
One of the things that I love with one of our first nativities we've done when the churches combined, I recall that they had, different cast members from each group of the Sunday school. So for the shepherds, they had the teenagers and stuff.
Yeah.
And for the wise men, that was still my favorite time I ever saw the wise men. We had three adult men come down.
Yeah.
And I remember one was Bill Chisholm. And he's with the Lord now. But Bill Chisholm. And one was Lonnie Thatcher.
Yep.
He's still with us. And then one was George Koontz, my grandfather.
Yep. I remember that.
I love when they come walking down. My grandma had all these doodads around the house. They were kind of like lanterns. But they looked really nice and fancy. So they used those for the gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And, my grandpa wore this bathrobe that he would wear just on special occasions. And it was real nice looking. It looks like something that a wise man would wear from back in the day. So for years, that was what we'd use. Every time someone had to do a wise man, we'd use that. And I would love to say we still have it. We did until a couple years ago. Someone threw it away at church. Aww. And I was not happy because that's my grandfather.
Yeah.
But still, Those are fun days, and I remember that.
That's part of the fun of like the old Christmas patches, because it's there's a song I'm going to play if I haven't played it already. I don't know when I'm going to put these songs in, but it quotes the line, it looks like there was a sale on bathrobes at Walmart.
Yeah. What are you going to do?
Yeah, you know? that's kind of what it looks like, because everybody's... You know, that was always nice that I actually had a costume that Grandma had made, but it got passed down. I remember there was one year, it was adorable, and I don't remember who the baby was, but your grandma was like... I don't know, was a nursery helper or whatever, but she came down with a little jingle bell and a little baby. That was Santa hat. Singing a little song.
Yeah, he was the only one she would have, and that was I'm turning his name right now. His last name was Roberts. I remember because I knew the family pretty well, but for some reason I can't remember the kid's name. But he was cute. She held him. Yeah,
it was an adorable thing. They came walking down the middle. But it was not a complete thing until... after, of course, your dad would have been, through the nativity telling the Christmas story. But then good old Riley Brown would get
good
up there,
Riley Brown.
Whip out that sombrero.
Oh, yeah.
And start singing. Oh, the hat I got for Christmas is too big.
My mother, and then played that song for him, and he went nuts for it. You know, that old song. Now, isn't that Mel Blanc?
Yes, yeah. Mel Blanc did it. But always, one of the things that was always so special when we were kids, and when you would leave... they'd have little bags, like treat bags for all us kids.
Still
had oranges and apples and candy canes and hard candies. And, what's cool about that is I never really knew it back then. But I've heard, as I've gotten older, when you talk to people who are, like much older than us, that was Christmas. That was what you wanted in your stockings. You'd love to get those apples and oranges. That was what made Christmas special. And they didn't need all the frills that we were kind of, we were a little spoiled maybe.
A little.
With all the things we expect. But back then, they'd get some nuts and apples and oranges, and it was the greatest thing. And it really kind of reminded me how special those bags were.
I didn't get to see it today, but I know that today, I'm here in Clay Coma, Missouri, that there was the fire truck that went around today. They always had Santa on the back, and they would every year give you a little bag of treats, and there would always be oranges and apples and the nuts, different types of walnuts and awesome. All that stuff. And it's funny is I didn't always eat the walnuts and stuff because it was always hard on my teeth, but I got to say that it was just something that was so Christmassy to me.
Yeah.
About the smell of all that together. And
yeah.
I just loved it until you accidentally... poured it all out together in your toy box and you smell the rotten apple later.
Oh.
which happened more than once.
And I had never thought or seen anything like that until actually just this week. And I'm going to plug another podcast called Inside the Magic, insidethemagic.net. But anyways, the guy who's the host of that had posted up stuff on Facebook, some video he took. I guess they do this regularly around Orlando, but they had the full sirens going. Like a police car and a fire truck, yep. Right behind the fire truck. It was towing Santa on his sled, waving, going right through the neighborhoods.
That's awesome.
And I was like, my goodness, that's great. Well, but I never heard her say
in the old day, in the old day, kids, first of all, I don't know if they were doing this during the Depression. I'm assuming they were. But kids didn't have much.
Yep.
And sometimes that was all they poor kids were going to get was that bag of candy and all, maybe something from the folks. But that was pretty special.
Yeah.
I think it still is.
I still get a kick out of it.
That's where I kind of, and not to get on the back of my day situation, but I do think it's sad.
That's what this show is about.
The kids, kids nowadays, and hey, we were spoiled too.
Yeah.
But kids nowadays, I think, sometimes have so much stuff that they don't appreciate the little things. And to me, the little things make the big stuff worth living, at least.
It was fun. And that's one of the things, we've learned is with working with kids over at the church and whatnot is when it comes to like overnights, you give them prizes that are the simplest toys. They have a ball with it. Mm-hmm. They don't need a lot of the high-tech stuff when you get down to it, unless you're really just a spoiled jerk. But we're getting off on a way other topic. But yeah, I mean, simple toys mean so much. Just because there's more you can do with a toy that has more than one function,
Yeah.
If it flies around the room, it can become a rocket. It can do all this other kind of things in a kid's imagination.
That's why I've always noticed
tangent.
You end up buying a toy for a kid, and it's kind of funny. We laugh about it, but sometimes the kid will get more out of the box. I'm talking about the little kids. They get more out of the box than they do the toy itself.
Yeah, I guess you can make stuff out of that box sometimes.
I remember buying my nephew, my eldest nephew, Baron. I bought him a big stuffed toy of the Beast once. Really isn't that big, but it was the first one they brought out of him. And but I remember
long time
it
came, ago.
Yeah, it was 1991. And I remember the Beast came in this box that was made to look like a seat for the Beast. So Baron picks up the Beast and sets it next to the box, sets down holding this little toy guitar, and sets in the box, like a chair. And it was so cute.
I hope Burns is going to listen to this show, because that'd be awesome, because he's all grown up now.
And... You don't remember that at all, I'm sure.
Oh, man. Oh, the fun. Let's see, was there anything we're not... Oh, you know, there was, I think the last Christmas pageant we ever got to do together and everything, you were teaching a class.
Mm-hmm.
And
usually am now.
Usually am, yeah. And you had me come out as Linus. You had, like, all the kids were giving lines from different Christmas specials on trying to figure out the meaning of Christmas, and I came down as Linus and gave the lines.
And unfortunately, we didn't get to practice that one as much as I'd hoped we had.
Yeah.
But it, I enjoyed it, and the fact that I remember, you know, you all who are listening probably don't know, but every year I try to make two or three new songs. All I do is take songs that everybody knows and loves, like Jingle Bells, whatever, and change the lyrics to represent Jesus or something of a biblical principle. And so I remember that year we took Blue Christmas and we sang There Will Be No Christmas Without You. And the kids are singing for Jesus. The kids are singing to Jesus. They said, There Would Be No Christmas Without You. And then they went through the whole thing, and at the end of it, they say, you know, if you let him in, then Christmas can begin, and we'll have a true, true Christmas.
Yeah.
And that was a good one.
Yeah, I remember that one. That reminds me, speaking of songs that were like tradition, I remember every year your mom would even sing, and I don't know what you call the song, but C is for the Christ Child.
It's called Christmas, and it has the letters.
Uh-huh. It has all the letters of Christmas.
A lot of people don't know this. I learned it from Jim Reeves, great old singer.
I've heard that version, I think. Yeah, on the radio.
He starts off with, when I was just a youngster, Christmas meant one thing, that I'd be getting lots of toys a day. I learned a whole lot different when Mother set me down and taught me to spell Christmas this way. And then he goes into spelling it. C is for the Christ Child, born upon this day. H is for herald angels in the night. R is for, R means our Redeemer. I means Israel. And S is for the star that shone so bright. T is for three wise men.
They who travel far. Yep. M is for the manger where he lay.
Mm-hmm. A is for all he stands for. S means shepherds came. And that's why there's a Christmas day. Then he goes
You're
back.
Getting more songs than you expected this time, right?
Because sorry.
You're getting us singing, which is probably horrible.
I didn't realize until looking at a video I was in not long ago, I sing continuously. I'm always singing. Don't even realize
it.
I'll just pick up. I didn't know it, but I was watching it with my wife, watching a video, and I said, did I really sing that much? She goes, I can't ever get you to stop.
Which is why that when back when that Chicken Little movie came out with the little pig guy, when he was always singing, that's why he reminded us of you. It's like, not because he was a pig or anything.
It's okay.
But because he was always singing, and he was always pretty happy, and it's like, that's Phil, it's personality.
I know I'm the John Candy type of guy. It's okay.
With more songs involved.
That's right.
But that's part of the fun.
Yeah.
Let's see, is there anything else I can think of like the Christmas pageants that we used to do?
Well,
I'm gonna think of one. Of course, now I'm all grown up, they've all changed, and I'm, you know, but of course we're talking childhood memories, but now as a grown up, now I'm in the choir and I sing cantatas and they're all these big nice things, and
I still do a lot of the same things. I'm the one now who has to come up with things for kids to do.
Yeah.
Problem is, when you don't have a whole lot of kids, you find yourself doing most of it. And so I don't know if people think I do that on purpose, but the fact of the matter is I've learned a lot of things. First of all, as kids have grown up, a lot of them that I've had at least are a lot less hammier, and they don't really want to do a lot. So they don't mind singing, but they don't want to learn lines. So I've learned a lot of times to put all the pressure on myself.
Thank you for listening to the Neverland Podcast.
We invite you back next week for more fun and adventure.
Until then, remember to keep a pixie in your pocket.
It's that young at heart, positive attitude that you can share with others.
And remember to visit our website at neverlandpodcast.com.
There you can find links to our news page, our shop,
our contact page, where you can easily send an email to podcast@neverlandpodcast.com.
You can also find our Neverlanders page, where you can find out how to become an official Lost Boy or Pixie, because girls are too clever to get lost.
Become a real Neverlander.
please feel free to leave us a voicemail at 816-226-6492.
And be sure to follow us on Twitter at NeverlandPCast.
And like our Neverland Podcast fan page on Facebook.
We also have a group on Facebook for you to join.
We also appreciate your support to keep the Neverland Podcast up and running.
Visit patreon.com/neverlandpodcast to donate to keeping the pixie dust alive.
Copyright content featured on the Neverland Podcast is copyright of their respective creators and used under fair use license.
All original content is copyright of Blue Band Productions, and a very special thanks to Yeehaw Bob Jackson at yeehawbob.com for our new ending music.
God bless!
Yeah! Hello, everybody, this is Yeehaw Bob Jackson. Neverland Podcast, we love you. Neverland Podcast, we love you. Neverland Podcast, it's true. Neverland Podcast, we love you.
Yay! Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.